continue where I left off on the steps on how to build honor. And everything that we're going to be talking about is coming from our book, and it's going to be coming from anywhere around page 89 to 103. But in those areas is where, you know, the quiz questions are coming from and everything I'm going to be discussing. Okay, let's start off with prayer, and then we're going to get right off into the Word. Father, we just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing in this school and how you're cultivating each and every individual's life, Lord God, putting in them everything they need to be successful in ministry, to be successful in life, Lord God, and any and everything that they set their hands to do, Lord God. I thank you that every student will walk away, Lord God, fully equipped, Lord God, to go and to do exploits, Lord God. We thank you for our apostle and for the anointing that's on his life, Lord God. And Father God, I lean on that anointing because I recognize I'm covered by that anointing. So I have a legal right, Lord God, to acknowledge the anointing that's on my apostle, because I know that the anointing starts from the top and it flows down. And when you align yourself properly, you get everything you need to fulfill the assignment that God has called you for. And we just ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what we're going to be talking about, I'm going to just continue where I left off, and then I'm going to go back over those steps again. When I left off last week, I was somewhere about talking about the protecting your leader. Protecting your leader builds honor. Your pastor, your apostolic source, the apostle or the pastor that's in your life, whoever you sit under and whoever you get spiritually fed from, is vitally important that as men and women who work in the ministry of helps or are in leadership, that we know how to protect our leaders. Amen. And I'm going to read, as I did last week, coming from Esther chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified version because it kind of makes it more plain and to the point. It says here in Esther chapter 6, verse 1, it said, that night the king couldn't sleep. He ordered the book, the record book, the day-by-day journal of events to be brought and read to him. Then came across the story there about the time that Mordecai had exposed a plot by two royal eunuchs who guarded the entrance and who had conspired to assassinate the king. The king asked what great honor was given to Mordecai for this. Nothing, replied the king's servants who were in his presence. Nothing was done for him. Okay, it says here that the king wanted to know what honor or what dignity was going to be bestowed on Mordecai for exposing this plot to kill his life. One of the key elements is that when God blesses us with an apostolic source, now this was an illustration of a king, but his life was spared because one of his faithful servants saw that, you know, some what should have been trusted eunuchs or guards had conspired to kill him. Well, he spoiled that plan and the king was spared. And the king knew that there should be some honor given to him because of his faithfulness in protecting his leader. There's two elements that I want to go over as far as protecting the leader. Protecting your leader, number one, as we know, will build honor, because the king wanted to know what honor has been given to him. And they said, we didn't. And I know the king had something special for Mordecai because, I mean, his life was on the line and his life was spared. Okay, leaders need to be protected. They need to be protected in two ways. The first way they need to be protected, they need to be protected spiritually. And they also need to be protected physically and spiritually. The first way, physically, and also spiritually. And we're going to talk about both of those. I'm going to begin from a physical aspect, and that's why a lot of times you'll be at a meeting and you'll see security, or you see people there who are watching and making sure, because whenever you're in a meeting and the anointing of God is flowing, there's always a possibility where the enemy will have some of his people in there to disrupt or to cause havoc in a meeting, you know. And so you need security. When the president goes, no matter where he goes, there's the Secret Service. I watched a movie this past weekend. I'm just thinking about it, where the Secret Service, you know, it kind of highlighted their role in protecting the president. And one thing you got to recognize, an apostle, a prophet, those people who are in God's government hold high offices in the spiritual world. Matter of fact, an apostolic office is the highest office that you can hold spiritually, you know, from a realistic point of view, because it affects people's eternity and it'll affect nations and what God wants to do. It's actually higher than the office of a president. So if the president needs security, well, then an apostle or a prophet or people who walk in high levels of anointing and have a mandate by God need to be protected. Let me give you some not so much illustrations, but some things that I witnessed in my own personal lives. Probably 10, 12 years ago, maybe. This is back when the apostle was traveling with other ministers and ministering in large arenas. This one particular meeting in Chicago, I'll never forget it. I was sitting maybe 10 rows back, and there was this one guy who he just drifted in from off the street, apparently. You know, he wasn't dressed in a suit. He was kind of, you know, like he was homeless or whatever. I mean, just regular clothes like they hadn't been washed in a while. But he kept slowly moving his way up to the front. I'll never forget that. He would look for a seat, then he'd move up. Well, there was security there. They had guys on either end on that first row who were security. And he ended up getting all the way up to, like, I want to say the first row, and that should have never happened. But there was a vacant seat there. That's one of the reasons why I know our ushers, they want to make sure those first couple of rows are always full, because you want to know who's in those first rows, because that's security. I mean, you want to know who's in those people that you can trust. But anyway, this guy, all of a sudden, while the minister was ministering, he jumps up and he launches towards what appeared to be the platform was further back, but just kind of launched towards the speaker. And the two guys on either end of the security, they took him down and, I mean, tackled him. And within a matter of 15 seconds, they had him out the door, you know. And I'll never forget, it was Dr. Dollar who was ministering. He said, "Now, everybody, y'all focus on me. They're doing their ministry. Let them do their ministry. You know, just don't let nothing interfere with the word." And that's something I've learned from my apostle. You know, you never want nothing to come and interfere. If you're ministering, you just keep going, because I mean, this is just an attack by Satan. But you know, but God's got it covered. Another illustration that I want to also bring out it's a good illustration as far as protecting leadership. I want to talk about spiritually protecting leadership, and that's through prayer. That's through interceding for your man or your woman of God, by interceding. There's physical protection because, I mean, like I said, Satan, he'll try to interrupt and come against a service, but you also want to protect them spiritually. One of the things we're doing here at Ever Increasing Word Center and a Word of Life Christian Center is the apostle has designated prayer leaders and give them specific prayer targets, praying for the ministry, protecting the anointing that's on the man of God. See, that anointing is precious, and you want to protect it. You know, it's our job, because anything that you value, you're going to protect. That's why people, a lot of times when they travel, they put their jewelry in a vault in the hotel, or sometimes even hotels may have special vaults for really expensive jewelry and you know, things that people travel with. Some rooms have, you know, little small safes in them. Why? Because you want to protect value. Well, spiritually, if something is valuable, you definitely want to protect it, because you want to make sure that whatever God has for us, we're gonna receive all that God has. Amen. All right, let me just read a little bit here. And I kind of just shared this, but I want to make sure I cover every aspect of it. I said our apostle has set up, you know, prayer leaders here at the church and through LTMA for that purpose. We need to pray around leaders by interceding for them. We need to learn how to protect our leaders by blanketing them, you know, putting a blanket of prayer around them or a hedge of protection around them. There could be attempts by Satan to hurt them and to destroy their ministry. Our responsibility as leadership of the church is to teach people how to become a defense around their pastor, their apostle, their prophet, because a lot of people aren't aware of how to protect, you know, men and women of God. Amen? So that's one way that you build honor, by protecting that anointing. You know, even, you know, you've heard the apostle say, you know, the jet is a means of protecting his anointing. You know, don't have to travel through airports, not on Delta schedule, not on Southwest schedule, but on his own schedule. Whereas as he can be refreshed, you know, we're planning a trip to Washington and we were looking at flights and how long it's going to take us to get there. And I remember one guy said, if you're going up to Washington or Seattle, make sure you go a day ahead of time so you can rest because of the jet lag. If you get there the day of the meeting, you're going to be wow. And you won't be able to receive, so we got to kind of plan that. But see, when you got your own transportation, you know, you can rest, and you're not going through airports and having to, you know, trying to get connecting flights. All of that protects an anointing, because when the man of God gets up, you want him fresh. You want him there to be able to flow. And as we, as leadership, know how to put that a hedge of protection around him, we're able to protect him. Amen. Okay, let me move on. The next one is praise, and I kind of changed it a little bit. Prayer, praise, and worship. Prayer, praise, and worship also is a way of building the anointing, or not the anointing, but a way of building honor in your life. And I'm going to read from Psalms 149 and verse 6. Psalms 149 and verse 6 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth as a two-edged sword in their hand." Verse 7, "To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people." When you're praising, and worshiping God, you start off in prayer. You know, you may be praying and you have specific prayer requests or petitions that you're petitioning God for, and then all of a sudden you get into praise. You start thanking God for his greatness and for his goodness and for just being the God that he is. And then you leave from praise and you begin to get into worship, where you're worshiping God for who he is. And you just you're getting into a higher level of praise where now God's power and his strength comes down. You see, the Bible says praise steals the enemy and the avenger. I'm just read a little bit here. It says, "Pray when you're praising God." It says, "To execute." This is Psalms 149, verse 7. It says, "To execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people." It says, "To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron." Verse 9 says, "To execute upon them judgment." Written this honor to given this honor to all the saints. Praise you, the Lord. This honor of prayer, praise, and worship is available to all God's saints to execute. You know, it's our right that we can go before God and praise and worship and just thanking him for who he is. But when you do that, that develops honor. It develops honor in your life through prayer, through praise, and through worship. That's one aspect of developing honor. And that's something that, you know, one of the things we're doing now, we have a texting going on where, you know, everybody's reading the same scriptures or the same chapters every day. And people are praying 30 to 45 to an hour and a half every day. And that's done for accountability. But that's going to build honor. Because, see, prayer is simply communicating with God, you know. And you see, when you're praising God and you're worshiping in God, you're exchanging your weaknesses for his ability. You know, they come a point where Lord, you know, I recognize I need you. I need your strength, your ability in my life. And then as you praise, the Bible says, the Bible talks about the angels of God ascending and descending. So through prayer, praise, and worship, now you're being clothed with God's strength, clothed with God's honor, clothed with everything that you need to get the job done. So praise, prayer, praise, and worship is one key way of developing honor. And let's go to the next one. The next thing, the next aspect of that is understanding covering. Understanding covering. Now, when you think of covering, you think of, say, a raincoat, an umbrella, or clothes. They protect you from the elements. But we need to understand covering as it pertains to the covering or the mantle of the man of God or the woman of God or the apostolic source that you submit yourself to, understanding the covering that you are under. The 10th way, and this is number 10, the 10th way to develop honor is understanding covering. And I'm going to read from Proverbs 31 and 23. It says, "Her husband is known in the gates. When she sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivered girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her covering." So the 10th way to develop honor is understanding covering. Whoever covers you, a pastor or an apostle, has been blessed with strength and honor. So just like clothes protect and cover you from the cold and an umbrella protects you from the rain, your apostle or your pastor's anointing covers you from Satan's attacks on your life. When you submit to them properly, you need to know who's covering you and why. Not just the fact, it's one thing to know that I'm covered, but you have to know who's covering you. Whose covering am I sitting under and why? And I'm going to give you some illustrations, because if you don't understand the who and the why, you're not going to be able to utilize your covering to a greater degree. Let me share something that happened to me about 2 years ago when I first started teaching. The first year I think I taught in the School of Ministry, almost this time, around February, about 2 years ago, I started having some complications in my body. And I'm not going to go into all the details because it's really not, I want to make sure I get the point across. But so I went to the doctor, and immediately after he looked at me, within 5 minutes, you're going to need to have surgery. Matter of fact, I'm going to schedule you to go see a specialist, and he's going to confirm what I'm telling you, and he's going to set up surgery for you, and you're going to probably be laid up for 3 to 6 weeks or better. And I'm just wowed. I said, no. So I get in my car, and without even praying, the first thing came to my mind. We're talking about covering. I said, "Lord, I don't have time for no surgery." I said, I'm here, undergirding my man of God, my pastor, and the School of Ministry, and the things that I do. I said, I don't want to disappoint my apostle, and let him know that I'm going to have to sit out for a while, even though I knew he would understand. But I'm saying, "Lord, I'm too busy. I got things to do. I don't have time for this." And that's basically all I said. My second appointment with the specialist was the next week, And even from that point, I started to feel some things in my body begin to amend. When the specialist checked me out, he checked me out from head to toe and turned me every which way but loose. And he looked and he set me down after he fully examined everything. He said, "Yeah, I kind of see what your primary care physician said." He said, "But it's really not that bad." He said, "If I was you, I would just let's just wait and let's see how things progress." And he said, "But in the meantime, just eat more fiber and do various things." He didn't even prescribe a prescription for me, I hadn't had any problems with that since. But what I did was I leaned on my covering. When I said, "Lord, I don't want to disappoint my apostle. I want to be here and be a blessing, but be about my Father's business, in the assignment God called me to. And you see, when you look at it like that, you're covered. You know, a covering is a blanket of protection. The enemy will try to get in. But when you understand who's covering you, I knew that I was covered by the apostle. And I knew why, because of the assignment that's on his life. And one of the things was stated, this past Sunday, you know, he said, I can't do it by my, I need people, who are faithful, who are going to fill in the spots and do what needs to be done, you know. And when you understand that, whenever I go to minister in the prison, one of the first things I acknowledge is the fact that I'm a member of Word of Life Christian Center, and I'm covered by the apostle. You know, I acknowledge it, and I lean upon that covering. Or what I mean by lean upon that, you know, I can lean upon this podium, you know, and it relieves pressure, and I'm you know, and it's sometimes people lean upon something for support. You could lean upon a covering for support. There was a man in this ministry. I'm not going to go with that because, let's see. Okay, one of the things I also want to say about covering, I'm always conscious of the fact, you know, that I represent my spiritual father. Whenever I'm ministering, whenever I'm sent to minister, whether I'm going for a funeral to represent somebody in the church, I'm always conscious, very much conscious of the fact that I represent my spiritual father, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. And when you do that, you're leaning on your covering. You're leaning on, you see, the anointing of God always flows from the top down, you know, and when you're positioned properly, whatever anointing, whatever you need, as you stay in position, well, then you're covered, you know. Just like icing on a cake, you know, I mean, when you make a cake and you put icing on it, that icing completely covers the cake, you know. Just like an umbrella protects you from the rain, Your the anointing and who you're serving under makes a difference. The type of covering. You got different types of umbrellas. You know, you got different types, you know, at work we have several different uniforms depending on the weather. We have a kind of a cool weather uniform that's not, you know, the material is lighter. In winter, we got something a little heavier. When it really gets cold, they provide us with insulated coveralls. And those insulated coveralls protect us from harsh weather conditions. Well, you have to know that when you're covered properly and know who's covering you and why, you're covered from whatever the enemy will try to attack you with. Amen? Praise God. Let's move on. Let me give you some examples from the Bible of covering. This is something I was asking the Lord. Lord, give me some examples in the Bible of because people were associated with a man of God or around it, how it affected them. And the first illustration that came up to my spirit was Paul. When Paul was in prison and they were transferring him by boat, and Paul was on a mandate to go and to see Caesar, and he had to go to Crete. So in the process of moving Paul by ship, let me read those verses of scripture so you know where I'm coming from. I'm looking at Acts chapter 27 verses 20 through 25. But anyway, Paul had told the sailors or the captain, I don't think we need to sail because I perceive there's going to be much harm in this in our journey. But they didn't listen to Paul. Verse 20 says, and when neither sun or stars in many days appeared, and small tempests lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, "Sir, you know, you should have hearkened to me and have not loosed for Crete, but there's going to be a gain and loss, you know, in this voyage." Verse 22 says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all that sail with thee. Therefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as was told me. Now, because Paul was on a mandate from God to go to see Caesar and to plead his case, God spared Paul and all of those people who were on the boat with him. Sure, they lost the ship, they lost the contents, but nobody lost their life. And these people, the Lord began to show me, they weren't really hooked up to Paul from a spiritual perspective. They were just in his company. They just was around him. When you're around the anointing, that anointing is going to affect you. And, I mean, you might even be a heathen, you know. Lot, because of his association with Abraham, caused Lot to prosper. You know, Lot didn't really do anything for the prosperity. He because of his association and being a cousin of Abraham, and Lot increased. You know, when you're around an anointing, you know, that anointing is going to affect you. And in this situation, everybody on the boat, you know, did not, you know, and no harm came to them. And then he showed me another. I said, but Lord, but they're not, you know, they weren't covenant people. They weren't hooked up to Paul. They were just traveling with Paul. A lot of them were prisoners. Some of them were guards. You know, they were just following orders. But then he said, okay, well, let's go to the Exodus, and let's look at the plagues and Moses. Moses was a deliverer. And the Bible talks about how God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and command Pharaoh to let his people go. And Pharaoh's heart kept getting hardened. Well, those plagues that came upon Egypt, the Bible says there was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. Why was that? Those people and Pharaoh and his army, even though they would take straw away from them because they were making bricks, building cities, God still protected his people because they believed Moses and they were under that protection, that umbrella of protection. But one of the most dramatic illustrations of the covering really came in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12 and 13. Let me read that. It says, this is what God's speaking and what he had commanded Moses to do. He says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. This is that last plague. And I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will exalt judgment. I am the Lord. In other words, judgment is about to fall. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So because they believed what Moses had said, who was their deliverer, and because they killed the lamb had to be, a lamb without spot or blemish, inside of a year old. They were instructed to do various things. The scripture says, you know, when you believe God's prophets and apostles, you're going to prosper. You're going to be established, but you're going to also prosper. And here was deliverance that took place for those under that covering. You know, you need to know who's covering you. And when I say why, I'm talking about the why is the assignment that the person that you're submitted to, what is their assignment? You know, one of the things, I even on my job, I have tremendous favor on my job like I can't even begin to describe, you know. If I need to leave, I can leave. You know, I can work whatever schedule I want to work, pretty much. And I don't take that, you know, abuse it, you know. But I know from just submitting to the ministry and Lord, I need to make myself available 24/7 if need be to do whatever I need to get done or to whatever assignment that I'm doing. I remember in the early years when I started out in prison ministry, this one particular facility would only allow me to come in during regular business hours from like 9 to 5, and I worked through that time slot, so there was no way that I could do it, and except I got a day off in the middle of the week. So the Lord told me to go talk to my supervisor and ask him for Mondays off and ask, could I work a 4-10 schedule? You know, nobody else in my group was doing that. I went to him and I explained to him that I had some work for my church that I needed to do, and I needed one day in the week off. And I'd make up and do whatever I need to do and get it done from Tuesday through Friday. That was, 16, 17 years ago? I've not worked 5 days in a row since. I mean, I only work 4 days, you know. And I could take off any day in the week. I can flex that day off. Now I take it off on Fridays, but if I need Wednesdays off, you know. But I contest that to the fact that, you know, when you're submitted to a plan and you're walking in it, God's going to bring the provision, whatever you need to do what he's called you to do. All right, let's go to the last one, which is revelation knowledge. Let me look, see how I'm doing on my time. I'm going along with illustrations. But one of the things the Lord's been even sharing with me about the classes, he said, no, don't worry so much about trying to cover so much material in a certain amount of time. Just flow with it and let it go. If you only cover 2 or 3 pages or 4 or 5 points, you know, make sure they're well covered and he'll take care of the rest. So I'm gonna just let him, you know, flow with him basically. One thing I've learned over the years, you just let go and let God, you know, and yielding. Yielding is so very important in the things of God. Yielding to God. When you yield, you give him the right of way. You say, Lord, you take control. You're at the helm. You know, I don't know what to do, you know, but my eyes are on you. And when you begin to do that, God is able to use you in greater capacities because it's less of you and it's more of him, you know. And it gets to the point where it's all of him. And really, you know, it's like I always use the illustration. I'm just a mailman. I'm just delivering the mail. I don't know what's in the letter, but however my routes say you need to deliver these packages to this person, well, that's what they're going to get. And everybody get what they need. So when you flow with God and yield, you know, everybody gets their mail delivered, gets their deliverance, get their breakthrough, whatever it is. Amen. All right. Number 11 is revelation knowledge will build honor. Proverbs 22:2-3 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heavens for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of the king is unsearchable. The way to build honor is revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge will build honor. As scripture says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but honor of the king is to search out a matter. Revelation knowledge is knowledge revealed by God that you couldn't have gotten any other way. When you know how to tap into revelation knowledge, reveal knowledge, it'll bring you into honor. God will reveal things to you supernaturally that'll cause blessing to come upon your life, and not only just your life, but other people also. We need to know how to flow in revealed knowledge by allowing God to speak to us as we spend time with him and as we allow God to speak to us and as we are obedient. One thing I've learned about God, when you start being obedient, when God tells you to do something and then you do it, well, then that opens up the door for him to speak to you more because he knows he can begin to trust you more, you know. But when you start being timid and hesitant, well, then he'll back off. But when you start, you know, say, Lord, you know, Lord, say, take this step, go this direction, and you begin to do that, then now God will cause you to launch you out a little bit further into the water, you know. And that's operating in faith. But that will build honor. All right, and I'm not going to prolong on now. What I want to do now is go back And I want to refresh some of these things because, like I said, I know there were people who were looking for the MP3s and it wasn't there. So we're going to look at, there was actually 11 ways to build honor. The first one was walking in wisdom, walking in humility, being upright in conduct, integrity, and in heart, serving your man of God, walking in obedience and submission, observing protocol, knowing the importance of giving, sowing into the anointing. And number eight, we talked about that, how to protect your leader and operating. Number nine is operating in prayer, praise, and worship. Number 10 was understanding covering. And number 11 was walking in revelation knowledge. And wisdom was the first one. And I probably won't even get past wisdom. But Proverbs 13:3 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious. It's talking about wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Wisdom. Wisdom. We need wisdom on a daily basis. One of the things I said last week is every day we need to pray for wisdom. When I'm doing my prayer and meditations every morning, I'm reading James 1 through 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not. But let him ask in faith. You know, we need wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. You know, if with all thy getting, we want to get wisdom and we want to get understanding. Because it'll transform your life. Proverbs 4:7, I just quoted it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding is the ability to apply wisdom. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Wisdom will bring you to honor when you embrace her. I mean, me being here at Word of Life was God giving me wisdom. I remember him speaking a word to my heart saying, this is where you need to be. We came for a visit. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and it was a word of wisdom for me. You know, had no idea what I'd be doing and how I would be doing it. But you know, God, you know, always praying. Because right before I got out of college, I remember going out one day in a park all by myself. I found a secluded place, and I just began to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, it was between going to grad school and pursuing higher education, but my desire was to serve God and to do what God's called me to do. So my desire was, Lord, I want to serve you. And so what I did was I went ahead and I applied to a Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rhema Bible Training Center. And I'll never forget, you know, I sent out, you know, applications and had, you know, you had to get references and so forth. So I was all set. And I was writing a letter to my wife, well, she was my fiance at the time. And in the process, the Holy Spirit arrested me, and I couldn't physically write down. I think I shared this before, but I couldn't write it down. My hands started shaking. So I started praising God, and God spoke to my heart and says, no, that's not my will for you. So after about 45 minutes to an hour, I don't know how long it was, me praising and worshiping God, I sat back down and says, I'm not going to be going. The Lord said no, and so I'm going to just wait upon to see what he wants me to do. We got married, several years passed. You know, my daughter was born, and all of a sudden, you know, we ended up at Word of Life, and then all of a sudden the Lord says, this is where you need to be. And then that same year that I joined the church, the Ever-Increasing Word Training Center started. The reason why I'm sharing this is because it's wisdom. God will give you wisdom. When you pray and you ask God for direction, God will give you wisdom. After I graduated, you guys will be graduating in a few months. After I graduated, the day before I graduated, Kenneth Hagin was doing a crusade in Jackson, Mississippi. The apostle was there. And I just happened to be at that particular meeting and happened to be sitting on the very end seat on the second row next to my apostle. And when Brother Hagin would come to minister, he would actually come, and this is me, this is the apostle. He was leaning over me, ministering to the apostle. And I'm looking, I said, wow, you know what, like he said, like sometimes you'll come over to his side. I mean, I'm there, and I'm looking at it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that seat. Now, this is wisdom. He said, son, he said, you're in my perfect will. He said, even though you wanted to go to this man's ministry, and I said, no, but I wanted you to submit to this man. You know, the anointing that's on this man is on your spiritual father. And you have everything you need because you're in my divine plan for your life. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You know, that you have no idea what that did for me, you know, because it takes wisdom, much wisdom, to sort out God's will for your life. But you got to walk in it by faith. And sometimes it seems like, Lord, this is taking forever, but it's refining you. You know, it's teaching you patience. It's teaching virtue. It's bringing out virtues in you. It's bringing out, it's smoothing the rough edges off. And it's getting you ready so that you can become a vessel of honor and glory. What you want to do, you want to be a vessel that God's power can flow through, you know. And God sometimes needs to refine you to get you to a place to where he can use you. But it's going to take wisdom in order to do that. Let's see what else I need to share here. I got a few more minutes. One of the things I want to point out is serving God, I'm just kind of skipping around this. Serving God is a privilege, and it's not a right. And that privilege can always be revoked. So you always want to serve God humbly. Amen? You know, it's a privilege, and it's not a right. I didn't get to number, I think it's number 7, which is, it talks about giving is also a way to produce honor. As a scripture, and we read it last week, it's in Proverbs 7:7. It says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. And that's talking about, you know, when you sowing up, the blessings come down. You know, the lesser is always blessed because of the better. That's called upward giving. When you sow, that brings you on. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you, and it will bring you or put you before great men. You know, not only just your talent. You know, that's what's called the law of double reference. But you're giving, you know, as you sow into anointing, well, then the blessings that's on the anointing will come down. Amen. All right. Let's see here. If you're not faithful in another man's ministry, don't expect the Lord to give you your own. The Bible says it is required of a steward to be found faithful. You know, God requires for us to be faithful, faithful to the call, faithful to whatever God called. Stay on your assignment. Don't drift away from your assignment. Whatever area you work in, the ministry of helps or at your church, stay on your post, because your blessing is going to be where God called you to be. You know, if I would have went to Tulsa, my blessing wasn't there. You know, I have good friends and people I know went there. But that wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's purpose for my life. No, this being here where I'm at today was God's plan and God's purpose for my life. You know, and I walk in that humbly. Amen. And I just thank God for it. You know, another thing, too, is walking in integrity. I'm a finish off with this. You know, we need to be people of integrity. You know, scripture says in Proverbs 26:1, as the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. The word fool or foolishness and honor don't go together. They don't run together. The word foolishness here has to do with one's inability to walk in the spirit of integrity. You don't want to be foolish. You want to walk in integrity and in uprightness in heart and in conduct in your life. Be, you know, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. You know, you always want to be upright and pure and always be quick to repent. David said, Lord, search me, you know, search my heart. And Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, and if you continue to pray that and say, Lord, search my heart, you know my thoughts, you know, try me, Lord, purge me with fire, you know, I mean, fire, this is what is known as a refining fire. And as we allow God to use us and we submit in that capacity, we can't help but walk in honor. Amen. All right, we're going to conclude for today. I'll see you guys next week. And don't forget, there is a Money Coming to You conference coming up in Baton Rouge at Pastor Cowan's church, Spirit of Life, I think it is. Am I right? The Spirit of Life? Ever-increasing life. Okay, I knew life was in there somewhere. That's another thing, too. You know, going where the apostle is, sitting under the anointing is how you catch the anointing, by going and being a part of that. You know, and getting involved with it, and it'll change your life. Amen. All right.